This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. Today's guest is Ryan LaGrange, Manager of Workforce Development for Lafayette Economic Development Authority. Before we begin our interview, I'd like to thank Raider Solutions for taping our podcast. Located in the Light Center in Lafayette, Raider Solutions is a technology company that offers a complete fleet of IT solutions for businesses of all sizes. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work, we understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. LUS Fiber also supports Discover Lafayette. A trailblazer in community broadband services, LUS Fiber can serve your telephone, internet, and television needs. For more information, please visit lusfiber.com. And now to our guest. Ryan LaGrange specializes in assisting businesses apply for state and federally funded workforce grants to upgrade the skills of their employees. I got to know Ryan through my work partnership with LEDA through the years. And Ryan, I saw that you not only assist with employee recruitment efforts, retention of existing employees, you also help people acquire funds to help offset training expenses. And that's what we'll be focusing on today. Through LEDA's annual job fair held each May, you also connect businesses with workers. You also assist with the virtual job fair and various community recruitment events throughout the year. So Ryan LaGrange, thank you for joining us on Discover Lafayette.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this. As I mentioned, I got to see you in action through the years when I worked with Upper Lafayette, and you are single-handedly, I think, focused on helping businesses find resources that can help them grow, help them start up, and help existing employees get the training that they need. So I'm not sure where to start. If you wanted to start with maybe the source of the funding and how the Workforce Commission helps Louisiana employers.
Yeah, sure. There's two major pots of money for workforce development and training. One is federal funds that flow through the state and are administered by a local workforce development board. Those primarily focus on individuals on a traditional track that are seeking education. It could be individuals displaced from employment that need to retrain into a new field, or it could be individuals, you know, coming directly through a traditional track from high school who are looking for their first career step. And with that federal fund, they do have some programs that are geared toward businesses as well. So quite often companies find themselves doing training in-house. And so there are some funds set aside for on-the-job training through these federal funds that can help companies offset the cost of taking on a new employee and training them in-house. So that's one of the major areas. The other is a $20 million fund that's funded through the Louisiana Workforce Commission and is paid as a social charge on unemployment insurance taxes. So companies that pay into the unemployment tax system have the opportunity to take advantage of either the incumbent worker training program or the small business employee training program.
Okay. So I know that the state's been setting aside about $20 million per year for quite a while now. And start first maybe with the small business employee training program. That's for businesses that have 50 or fewer, or fewer than 50 employees. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So of the $20 million fund, they have two options to apply for training. And the small business employee training program is always funded first. The state makes sure that the funds are put there. And any application that comes through for the small business program, it's operated like clockwork. Since the inception of the program in 2003, I have not seen where this program has run out of funding or had any deficits. They ensure that the funding goes there first. So,
what types of training do people look for under that program?
Sure. There's a variety of different options there, and it's usually based off of the type of training provider. So when an individual is looking for training for individuals, they have different companies that may offer the type of training they're looking for. So there's four major types of training that are allowed. Training that is provided by a national, regional, or state trade association. So that could be, for instance, a CPA firm may use the Society of CPAs to do their continuing education. There's a variety of other trade associations that might correspond with any variety of different occupations. The second type is computer software or hardware training. Mm-hmm. So as long as it's a manufacturer of the software or an authorized dealer of that software, they can provide that type of training. And then equipment training, as long as it's the manufacturer of the equipment or a certified dealer of that equipment. So if you think of like a manufacturer, for instance, they may sell a, they may purchase a special type of machinery mm-hmm. for their production line. The dealer can come and offer the training to offset that cost to implement that new piece of equipment. And then the fourth type is any type of training that's provided by a local provider that has operations within the state of Louisiana that it gets onto the state approved list.
Okay.
So this includes public providers like our universities, colleges, mm-hmm. Or it could include private companies that have a successful training history that apply to get onto the state approved list.
Okay. I have a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Before I ask it, I want to ask, how do people apply for this? Like who qualifies? What type of you have to be an employee.
Yes.
And I'm using quotes in the air. People can't see that, but it can't be contract type of workers. You have to be employed with a paycheck.
This is to train the workers of a company. So yes, they need to be an employee on regular payroll. Mm-hmm. So no 1099 employees. Mm-hmm. Contract workers that work through a staffing firm at your site would not qualify mm-hmm. under your company applying. They would okay. need to apply under their place of employment. It also has to be a business that has been operating and employing people and paying into the unemployment tax system for at least 3 years. Mm-hmm. That's when the company becomes vested in the unemployment tax system, and that's when they can begin taking advantage of these financial resources for training.
Okay.
And as you mentioned earlier, a small business taking advantage of the Small Business Employee Training Program, companies with 50 or fewer can utilize that program. The financial allocation is up to $3,000 mm-hmm. per employee per state fiscal year.
Which is very generous, I think.
It is.
So let's go back to the first example you gave, Ryan. My ears perked up when you talked about continuing education. Mm-hmm. You mentioned CPAs. I think every type of office has some kind of continuing education, whether it's legal or medical. Mm-hmm. So how does that work? Can you give an example of that? Because mm-hmm. I know people have to get so many hours a year of continuing education. Does a regular right. class count for this if you get yes. approval ahead of time?
Yes, it can be. So if it's a continuing ed basis, usually those are the short-term courses. It might mm-hmm. be a 1-2 day, even a week-long course. And this is something that the company identifies as a need for their employees. They do have to apply with the state at least 30 days prior to the course. Mm-hmm. They have to give the state enough time to process the application. As long as it's within that 30-day or over that 30-day time frame, usually like clockwork, as I mentioned earlier, the state processes the application, mm-hmm. they receive their approval, and they will get reimbursed the full amount that's approved. The state usually pays typically the full market price of the training. There are a few limits on some types of courses that they might have a limitation, but they're very upfront about mm-hmm. the amount they pay so that the company can determine whether they would need to pay the difference. But usually it's the full market price of any tuition and books that would be associated with the course.
That's incredible. I don't know if many law firms know about this. I just think about all the continuing education requirements that there are. Mm-hmm. And I know that I did this in the past, Ryan, and you actually assisted me from LEDA when I was at my husband's law firm. And I know that some people thought they could just go sign up for classes and wing it, but you do have to get approval ahead of time. There's no guarantee if you don't get that approval ahead of time. And it has to be an approved provider.
Yes, so. As long as it's an approved provider. And I've even had companies come to us and say, look, this provider is offering a unique course that I need. They have operations in mm-hmm. Louisiana. But I'm not sure if they're on the approved list. So sometimes I kind of help them vet that out mm-hmm. and find the training with the providers. If it's a provider that's not on the state approved list, a lot of times they can apply to get on the approved list. Sometimes the training providers are not aware of the program
right.
and how it can help their clients to train their employees. So quite often I play kind of an advisor on that end with the training providers to determine what is needed to become an approved provider with this program.
Right.
And over, it's usually within a 30-day time frame, same time frame that they would gather information, submit it to the state, and allow the state to review. Because the state has to make a determination that this company has a successful training history before they approve them to start doing training with these programs.
Now, I also took some classes. I really took a hodgepodge of classes. I first found out about it through Dale Carnegie. One of our friends, Todd Citrin with Hub City Ford, had taken the class, and I was amazed at his transformation, and I found out that the state that was approved, the Winter Institute that teaches Dale Carnegie was approved. I also got to take classes in Excel, PowerPoint, all kinds of office software programs that an approved provider taught. Is that typical to people, you know, that don't have good skills? Are you finding that they'll come ask for help from workforce development? Is that a typical type of class?
Yeah, and you know, it does include non-credit courses like the ones you've talked about. Could be leadership, team building, management. Sometimes you have companies that they upgrade an employee, they take someone off the line, and now they're the supervisor who has employees under them, and they've never managed anyone before. So it could be skills like that, you know, taking management and supervisory and leadership and communication courses. Computer skills is very common. And this can be everything from the typical Microsoft applications. It can be the QuickBooks for accounting folks, or it can be the high level. I know we've sent our IT guy to some high level technology programs to get some, you know, certifications where they can now, you know, manage different areas of our IT infrastructure that, you know, didn't have those skill sets before.
Right.
So it can be a wide spectrum there. Also, credit courses are allowed. So we had a company that was opening a new service line, and they needed folks to have HVAC, which is heating, ventilation, and air conditioning certifications, in order to start offering this new service to their customers. So they sent two of their shop technicians to an HVAC program and was able to get them certified, where now they can offer that new service line to their customers.
I
so
see.
That's another example of a four-credit option that happens. And even the traditional semester-based training is allowed. We've seen some healthcare firms take an LPN, licensed practical nurse, and upgrade them to RN by sending them through some traditional education tracks to get the license to the next level. So,
and the state pays for that.
Tuition and books, yes.
Up to $3,000 under this program.
Up to $3,000 per state fiscal year. And these are typically the small businesses, like the small medical practice, the CPA firms, the law firms. It could be a small heating and ventilation company. So variety of things. Any company that has less than 50 employees in Louisiana could take advantage of this.
Does the training have to occur in Louisiana, or is it does it have to be Louisiana-based training?
So training does have to take place within the state. That's one of the guidelines. And sometimes folks have problems locating the right type of vendor that can offer it, but providers can come here to provide training if they're an approved provider. So I know that some trade associations will hold their national conference in Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Lafayette. So those trade associations, although people can't go out of state to attend those courses, when they're coming into the state, they can then utilize it for that purpose.
Well, I know you were telling us before the interview started that Acadiana in particular really taps into this workforce development money. So I know you're doing a good job getting the word out, and I'm such a big proponent of this. But the Small Business Employee Training Program is just one element of what's available.
Correct.
And so there's something called incumbent worker training, if you want to talk about that, about what that could be done for existing employees also.
Yes. The incumbent worker program is funded by the same funding source, so it does have the same minimum criteria of a company being in business for at least 3 years, paying into the unemployment tax system, and the employees have to be on regular payroll to take advantage of it. The primary difference is, so this program requires at least 15 individuals to receive some sort of training over the course of a year. And so it allows companies to build a custom training plan for up to 1 year for any employees. And the 15 individuals it's just 15 minimum number of individuals that need to be touched by some sort of training. It's not everyone needing to take the same course at the same time. Mm-hmm. It can be a variety of different things that are put into that training plan. This incumbent worker program does also allow consortiums. So small businesses can team up and apply for a contract for 1 year to train. And we've seen that in the past. We had a number of small auto collision shops that teamed up together because there was a common certification that was an industry standard that was coming down the pipe and a requirement. And so they teamed up together. It was about 15 different companies to apply for one contract for training for a year. And this allowed all of them to get that standard industry training that was required.
That's
across
really cool
the board.
That they collaborated. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. It takes, it does take some coordination, and they actually utilized our local community technical college to help them write that particular contract. The major difference between the two programs, the incumbent worker training program does not have any out-of-pocket expense. So everything that's written into the contract, the state has approval of, and as training takes place, the state pays the training providers directly.
I see.
And the training provider, the primary training provider that assists companies with putting together this this application, would then disseminate funds to any other vendors that are involved with the contract. So the small business program, the major difference there is that it's a reimbursable program.
Right. The employer pays it, and mm-hmm. then once the employee gets the certificate that they mm-hmm. completed, then the reimbursement happens.
Then they get reimbursed the mm-hmm. full amount that was approved. That's mm-hmm. correct. Okay. So that's the major difference. The incumbent worker program also has some flexibility. So you don't have, with the small business program, you need to allow 30 days. There's the individuals that are taking training are listed on the application. With the incumbent worker program, it's a training plan, and it's made out as job titles. So there's no names attached to the job titles. It might be 10 accountants are going to receive this training, 12 administrative assistants may receive some other variety of training, and that's how they put together that training plan and that budget. So as soon as a contract is put in place for that 1 year period, as employees begin, as soon as they hit payroll, they're considered an incumbent worker.
The warm body
and they can be put into mm-hmm. training, yes, and take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. So the incumbent worker program tends to work well when you have companies that do a lot of training up front in the employee's career. So if they need to get training in order to go work offshore, or if they need to get safety training in order to work on a certain job site, the incumbent worker program, as soon as they hit payroll, once they're covered by this contract, they can send folks to training immediately that's approved and take advantage of that.
Right.
So a lot of times we see companies in those industries that have a lot of upfront training utilize the incumbent worker program.
What is the on-the-job training program? I know there's several mm-hmm. categories that you can request assistance. What is mm-hmm. that, please?
The on-the-job training program, that's the program that is funded. It's federally funded, and it's administered locally by our local workforce system. So our local workforce commission offices have direct access to those funds. And what they do is they partner with companies that have a job opening that they're trying to fill. And usually they do have to work with company and start the application before they hire someone. So at the time that that a company is looking to fill a position, they begin assisting the company with finding candidates. Whether it's a candidate that the Workforce Commission refers directly, or if it's a candidate that the company finds on their own. Mm-hmm. Either way, before they start working, they would have to get an assessment done with the Workforce Commission office to determine the skill gap. And they look at the skill requirement of the position and the skills that the individual currently has. And that allows them to refund up to 50% of the salary of this new hire up until the full training has taken place or up until the funding cap. Mm-hmm. The Workforce Commission has different funding levels depending on the type of worker. If it was someone that was displaced or dislocated from employment, might have been someone that was laid off from previous employment, they can usually receive up to $8,000
wow.
reimbursed, 50% of the wages mm-hmm. until it hits that $8,000 cap. If it's not someone that was displaced from previous employment, then the cap is typically $5,000.
Mm-hmm. Do you see, do you work with that much? I mean, do you see the people that are involved in that, mm-hmm. or is that just something you direct? mm-hmm. people to when they call you?
I actually serve on the Workforce Development Board. So at the policy level, I'm involved mm-hmm. with the funding and policy piece. But we do refer, when we're meeting with companies and they mention that they have, you know, current hiring needs and they do a lot of internal training, that's usually the type of company that we want to refer and have the local Workforce Commission staff meet with them. Typically, there's not really an extensive application process for that program. It's typically a simple meeting. They gather some basic information about the position, and then as the company starts interviewing individuals, they refer them for an assessment. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much how that contract comes together. As they find the eligible individuals and they figure out what type of individual for classification purposes and funding purposes, then they put them in place. The administration is very simple. It's a simple timesheet that they fill out mm-hmm. on a weekly basis, and they can get reimbursed as those folks go through training.
Do all age groups participate in this? Like, is there an age mm-hmm. limit? If someone, mm-hmm. you were mentioning people being laid off, mm-hmm. and you know it's tougher as you age to get jobs. I'm mm-hmm. wondering, do you see all ages, or is it typically a younger workforce that's going to that?
It's for the most part, it is all ages. So the federal funds actually have three pots of money. They have something called youth funds, adult funds, and dislocated worker. So depending on what classification the individual fits, they'll use that source of money. Mm-hmm. And youth is 16 to 24 or 23, and adult funds cover any other age group, and then dislocated worker, of course, are individuals that were displaced from work. But it is a full spectrum. Sometimes we have individuals that retire from one career and they're ready to go into something else and have a second career. Mm-hmm. You know, folks sometimes retire 50, 60 yeah. from one employment source, and then they're looking to do something else. They're not ready to fully retire. Mm-hmm. And so they do have the opportunity to retrain. So those federal funds can be used as scholarships for them to go back to school, receive certifications, either long-term four credit or short-term non-credit courses, or it can help with direct employment through this on-the-job training program.
Is there an income, like I know you're talking about maybe they've retired and want to learn new, is there mm-hmm. an income barrier, mm-hmm. like if they have savings?
Mm-hmm. You know there what I'm could saying? Be, they do look barrier? At current income for some of the funding sources. Mm-hmm. The adult funding source will look at income, but some of them, they look at what they were previously making and what they're making now. So mm-hmm. if they're on a lower income scale, a lot of times that's justification for them to utilize these funds right. and for the company to take advantage of this resource.
Yeah, sounds mm-hmm. like a great resource. And I know there's some other things too, LED Fast Start program and small and emerging business programs. Mm-hmm. Do you have much to offer for that?
The LED Fast Start program is administered by Louisiana Economic Development. So it is actually used as an incentive for companies that are growing, expanding, or relocating to the state of Louisiana. And primarily it's used in an incentive package. So when you hear of a new company mm-hmm. coming in, creating 100 jobs, 200 jobs, if they're within one of the target sectors, which is manufacturing, call center, headquarter location, there's a few digital media and software and technology. Those are some of the target mm-hmm. industries that the LED Fast Start program targets. So if they fit within that and they're creating jobs, whether it's an existing company that's here that's adding to their employee base, or whether it's a new company coming in, the state may offer this as an incentive. And the primary difference between the Fast Start program and most other workforce programs is that it's not money. So most programs give you funding so that you can train your employees. With the Fast Start program, they have a team of experts that come in, do an assessment of what the training needs are, and they actually develop programs, curriculum, screening tools, hiring tools, for you to promote and hire and mm-hmm. do outreach. And then as you employ people, they actually develop all the curriculum needed to train individuals to get them into the workforce, mm-hmm. into your company rapidly and make them productive. And then it's kind of a spectrum. Our state has all of these resources, such as the Fast Start for when they're starting up and ramping up. And then as they become established in the state, then they can take advantage of either the small business or incumbent worker training program for continuing education. Mm-hmm. In-house training is the on-the-job training. And then you have that the Small and Emerging Business Development Program, which is another program funded by Louisiana Economic Development. That program is targeted to small businesses, and it is created solely for the owners of the business. So we mentioned you have to be an employee to take advantage of the Small Business Program and incumbent worker training, but the Small and Emerging Business Development Program is administered by our Small Business Development Centers, which have offices statewide. Mm-hmm. The one here is housed out of the university, actually here at the Light Center as well.
Heidi Melanson.
Heidi Melanson is the contact and the primary administrator for that program, but they assist the owners of companies with technical assistance, whether it's accounting, legal, human resources, or it could be training, entrepreneurial training, and things that allow them to advance their business.
And, you know, I actually got certified through that with this podcast. Mm-hmm. I went to Heidi and said, I need help. You know, I've never done something like this. And it really wasn't that difficult to get certified by the state. I had to be interviewed and gave them some information, but I was surprised at the level of assistance you can get, especially marketing, things that most people may not know how to conduct, you know, how to grow their business. So it's really exciting, Ryan. And is there anything that I didn't ask you? Are these the main programs or are there others that we should have mentioned?
These are the primary programs for employment and training. Probably the only other thing with workforce development has to do with recruiting. And you mentioned the LEDA Job Fair, which is the big annual event. But on an ongoing basis, we have the LEDA Virtual Job Fair, which is a section of our website that's dedicated to companies who are posting openings and trying to fill openings. What's unique about this website, in addition to being the most having the most traffic on LEDA's website, any posting that we receive, of course, it's posted at no cost to help companies get the word out about their job openings. We also distribute any postings out to all of the relevant places where they can find workers. So the Louisiana Workforce Commission also initiates a posting on their website, and they distribute to all of their workforce centers. We also post with the university, the community college, as well as all of the private training academies like Unitech and Remington College and Blue Cliff College. So any of the places that may have the relevant workforce, we distribute those openings, and they also post for, we usually do a posting for 30 days. That's our normal time frame. And all of these partner ally agencies also post these openings for 30 days. So one opening that we post for the virtual job fair gets disseminated out to a number of different networks and other areas, all at no cost, just as a way to try to get some additional exposure for the employers and for those job openings.
So people would visit Lafayette.org, which is LEDA's website, right?
The quick link is Lafayette.org/jobs, where you can see a listing of all the current postings, and companies can actually submit a posting there or click the link to send an email with their posting.
Yeah, yes. I think that's a great service. And I know the job fair in May, that attracts tons of people. If you want to just mention that. When do you know when it's going to be held in 2019? Do you have
a date?
It'll
be the first week in May. I believe it's the Tuesday. So we're just in the process of booking the Cajun Dome Convention Center. You have to do that well in advance. But it'll be the first week in May. This event attracts usually about 100 businesses and 2,000 to 3,000 job seekers. And every year, we have a bit of a shift in industry participation.
I was going to ask, what are the hot employers right now?
Yep. A lot of times it looks a lot like our industry sectors here in our area. So healthcare is always the most represented. That is our largest employing industry. But last year we had oil and gas. We had 9 oil and gas companies, where 2 years before that we had 0. So it kind of changes depending on what is needed. But always healthcare, manufacturing, oil and gas, retail, food service. It's kind of across the board. Any industry sector that you see here is typically, we'll see represented at that event.
I know it's always exciting and helps people get off to, you know, right start in their job career. So
absolutely.
Before we wind down, Ryan, I want to ask Jason Sikora, who's taping us today. Jason, I see you writing notes.
Yeah, I've got some notes here. First of all, thank you for making the walk across the street from your office at LEDA to the Light Center.
Beautiful.
And LEDA has been great for Lafayette in general. You guys do a lot of great work. My first question was, I guess, for the workforce development, how long has the program been around?
So the incumbent worker program was created by the legislature in 1998. The first contracts were starting the approval process in 99 and approved in 2000. And it's been around ever since. So like any state program or any state agency, every 4 years the program sunsets and it goes back to the legislature for review.
Okay.
This program has been very popular throughout the state. Industry organizations like Lobby and others have always had support for this program. And, you know, there's been years that the legislature has considered, you know, whether they can tap into this funding source for other uses. And it is one of those dedicated funds. So companies that pay into the tax system and are vested in this program and pay into this incumbent worker fund are the only ones that can utilize it. And so it does remain as a protected fund. Okay. And every 4 years it's renewed. So it is actually has been approved through 2022. And that'll be the next time that it comes up for review in sunset.
And how does an employer get more information about this?
Yes. The incumbent worker program, laworks.net, is the state website.
Okay.
Through LEDA, also Lafayette.org, we have a section on labor and employment and workforce. So that's a place that you can also find information on it. And I serve as an advisor to the business community and often help companies determine if this is a good fit for them, whether it's something that they want to consider. So I know some businesses say, you know, do I really want to use a state program? Is this something that, you know, that would benefit me? Will it, you know, so I can help them answer those questions and determine that if folks need that additional support.
Okay. And you said for the small business program, the business has to be paying into this for at least 3 years. Was that
That's correct. So having employees for at least 3 years.
And under 50 employees.
That's correct.
Now, is there a time limit on how long a person has to be employed before they can take advantage of this? Or is it day one when they come on, they can take
the Right. As soon as they, so for the small business program, as soon as they hit their first payroll run, they can apply for an application.
Wow.
Yeah. Because part of the application process, they're going to submit a copy of the payroll report proving that that individual is on payroll. So they would need the first payroll run. With the incumbent worker program, it's day one. If they have a, if that company has a contract in place, as soon as they hit payroll, they're automatically eligible and can be take advantage of some training.
Interesting. And so literally, if you're a waiter working at a restaurant and you want to get into maybe accounting at the restaurant or event coordination, you could go to your employer and they could get you training through this program.
Absolutely. Actually, there's a there was an individual that called me. A lot of times it's businesses that we work with directly, but we had an individual who was an employee of a company, and he worked in the warehouse of a business and wanted to get a welding certification, and he kind of sold it to the business as, look, if I can go back to school and get this welding certification, I can then help you do some other things in the business, and it would allow him an advancement within the company, higher pay, and so forth. So the company agreed. They didn't know anything about the program. Mm-hmm. So they called us to find out, first off, was it too good to be true?
Yeah, does
this program exist?
Yeah, it really does. Yeah.
Yeah. And sure enough, we were able to explain the process and how it worked. And I actually did phone support and walked them through the online application initially. And that individual has started for credit credentialing to get welding certifications. And so actually I had a call from the company recently. They had another need that they found, and they were getting some other employees training, and they just wanted to mention it and had a question or two. So
this isn't something that just managers or owners should be paying attention to, but employees as well should be listening to this and going, this might be something that I want to look into.
Yeah, that's a good point. Absolutely. Yeah. And most businesses, when they learn about it, they see it as, wow, this is a way that I can help invest in my employees. And so sometimes a lot of sparks go off and you see a lot of other things come up and other needs that they realize that they can utilize these programs for to help them advance.
Excellent.
And enhance their workforce.
And then finally, kind of my go-to questions, any big roadblocks that you hit day-to-day that might be problematic for you? And also, is there anything down the pipeline that we should be aware of?
Roadblocks, such as?
Just legislation. Maybe somebody applies for something or wants to get education, but they can't because of something. Or is it really like too good to be true?
Well, depending on the so the small business program, it's pretty cut and dry and simple. And like I said, there's always funding. We've had cases with the incumbent worker program. That's a competitive program. So companies submit applications on a monthly basis. And if the funding source, if they had a lot of demand that month, they may not have full funding. So there are some cases that an application can be deferred to the next month or the next month, depending on what the demand is. However, there is a point rating system. So companies and training providers that apply for the incumbent worker program have a pretty good view of where they stand because they can see their point score and see what's being approved. So they kind of know where they stand. And if their application's not competitive enough, they have certain factors that they can possibly take advantage of to improve their point score. So that's the only thing is from time to time, you can see applications get deferred if the funding, if there's more demand than there's funding available.
Right. Gotcha. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well, awesome. Well, thank you for being here. This is fantastic information. Yeah. I appreciate
Excellent.
It.
Happy
thank
to
you,
be
Dan. Oh, I just, I love this topic. I love it because it's real people stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, like so many of us are cash strapped and you want to improve yourself and to find out that there are dollars available. And it's not too good to be true. Because I remember thinking the same thing, Ryan, when I heard about it. There's no way they're going to pay for Dale Carnegie. Mm-hmm. It was $1,695. And it was, I think at that point, they covered 95% of
Most
it.
Most of it, yep.
And so I was working for a nonprofit organization, and we were able, you know, I was able to take the class. And it really, those kind of things really help people in leadership. So there's just...
And they're very tangible. As we mentioned earlier, it's about $1.2 million worth of small business grants were approved in the Lafayette, Acadiana region within the last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of those may have been one person taking a $200 course, or it may have been they were sending 30 people to a variety of courses and had a $25,000 grant. Mm-hmm. So it's that full spectrum. And these things are here.
Yeah, it can really change a company's dynamics.
And absolutely.
It's fun too. So Ryan LaGrange, I want to thank you for joining us today on the podcast. Again, Ryan serves as Manager of Workforce Development for Lafayette Economic Development Authority. And you can find him on their website at lafayette.org. And I think your phone number, I know it, but why don't you say it?
337-593-1405.
Right.
Also email ryanl@lafayette.org.
I encourage people to reach out to you, Ryan. And we're here the week of Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving. This will come out after the holiday, but I'm looking forward to a great holiday season. Jason Sikora with Raider Solutions. Thank you for taping us today. And I want to thank the listeners for tuning into this. This interview and all of our interviews are available at discoverlafayette.net. You can also subscribe for free to our podcast. They come out each Friday. You can get them on Apple Podcasts, which is iTunes, or anywhere where you get your podcast. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, I'm Jan Swift.